You see, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we want to do the right thing. We do fail. Praise the Lord, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But we want to do the right thing. And there are bad guys out there who will come and give you a system or methods or whatever it might be through the world's wisdom to deal with your flesh.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, today we'll continue our look at how not to be taken captive by false teachers and teaching.
Yes, we will, Dave. And after an extremely important review, we're going to see that everything we have in Christ is the key to how we are protected from bad guys trying to take us spiritually captive. Well, with that in mind, let's turn to Colossians chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 11 and 12.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, what would you think of a father who doesn't protect their children from danger? There's a lot of danger out there these days. There's a lot of bad stuff going on in schools, a lot of bad stuff going on in our society. Sin is certainly rampant. Certainly Satan is the ruler of this world. And good parents want to protect their kids. They want to protect their kids from evil and protect them from that. Well, praise the Lord, we have a good Father in heaven who desires to protect us from the threats to our relationship with Him, to the threats to our walk with Jesus Christ. Indeed, we're going to continue our look in the book of Colossians concerning how we are to keep from being taken spiritually captive, and that we would avoid the threats to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 11 and 12 today. Now, although Paul has never visited Colossae, he has been informed of the spiritual state of the Colossians by Epaphras. He has traveled 1,600 miles and shared of the Colossians' faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for the saints. He has informed them of their love for one another. And yet it's evident that he has also informed the Apostle Paul of the threats to their faith. Indeed, as we go through chapter 2, we see that there are these spiritual threats, evil men and imposters bringing forth things that appear to be and have the appearance of wisdom, but yet are of no value, verse 23 of chapter 2, against fleshly indulgence. You see, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we want to do the right thing. We do fail. Praise the Lord, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But we want to do the right thing. And there are bad guys out there who will come and give you a system or methods or whatever it might be through the world's wisdom to deal with your flesh. And so what's the Apostle Paul's solution? It's a focus on the person of Jesus Christ. We see him praying for these Colossians in the beginning, chapter 1, thankful for their faith and love, and praying that they would be filled with the full knowledge of his will, filled, allowing God's word to control their every actions. And then we see he begins to address the danger by turning his focus to the person of Christ. Jesus Christ is the supreme Lord of the first creation. It is through him it was brought forth, all things, whether invisible or visible. And he is also the supreme Lord of the new creation. He is the head of the church, having been the one who gave himself for us, who brought about the forgiveness of sins. And then the Apostle Paul began in the end of chapter 1 to start to show what genuine ministry looks like in comparison to the false stuff he would address in chapter 2. You'll remember we saw that authentic ministry has God's men ministering. Paul was a suffering servant of Christ Jesus who was called by the Lord himself to minister and serve. He wasn't a hireling who came about through his own desire. God brought it forth. And we also saw that authentic ministry preaches God's message. It is Christ proclaimed. We have Christ proclaimed through the word, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then we saw God's method. He says, and we proclaim him, verse 28, admonishing every man and teaching every man that we may present every man complete in Christ. The method of ministry is that everybody would be taught the Word of God, admonished and taught that they'd be presented complete in Christ. And Paul said, this is why I strive. This is what I strive and agonize doing. And then he talks about those who have had their hearts knit together in love in chapter 2 and his struggle for them, that no one would take them captive. He points out that in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And there were those, as we'll see today, who were trying to pull people away so subtly from a dependence on the person of Jesus Christ. So how can we keep ourselves from being taken captive, knowingly or unknowingly? Well, let's take a look at our passage. And I want to turn back a little bit in our reading. We're going to look at verses 11 to 12 today. But this is a full section that flows all the way through. So I want to start in verse 8 and read through. And I'm going to have a lot of passages too. And feel free to turn there or feel free just to listen and you can jot them down later. But let's start in chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. This is Colossians 2:8, rather than according to Christ. That's really the main gist there is, don't be taken captive. For in him, speaking of Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And then now our passage. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, we're not going to have time to continue. I was initially going to go to verse 15, but there's just not enough time, but I want to read through that. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all our transgressions. This is wonderful. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which were hostile to us, and he has taken them out of the way, having nailed them to the cross. Amen. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. And then he's going to go on and say, therefore, hey, don't let anyone be your judge. And he says, don't let them religiously take you captive. And he'll give some specific examples. So how can we keep from being taken captive? Well, we've seen this already, and I want to review it because it goes all together. But remember, we saw in verse 8 that we were to see to it, we were to beware that we would not be taken captive. You could translate it this way. See to it lest someone be captivating you all. Be alert or it's going to happen. Be alert or you're going to get taken. God is gracious. He gives us warnings to protect us. He loves us so much. And so see to it. And so here, well, how is it that one is taken captive? Well, remember back in verse 3, in the end, we saw that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then he said in verse 4, I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive arguments. We saw that there are persuasive arguments that you can be deluded by that pull you away so subtly from trusting in the sufficiency of Christ. And so he says that, hey, I say that, but we were to walk in the same way in which we came to faith. We see in verse 6 of chapter 2, as you have therefore received Christ, so walk in him. When you came to faith in Jesus Christ, you trusted in nothing but Jesus. You believed the truth that God brought forth in the gospel, that you were a sinner and needed salvation, and you crawled out to Jesus. You believed in Jesus. By faith, you did nothing. There was no work involved. You believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the same way, we're to walk day in and day out, trusting Jesus, believing his word, a personal relationship with him, relying on him. But there are threats to that relationship. There are threats to that. And so he says, see to it that no one take you captive. I'm not going to go through this and reteach these portions, but we saw that people will bring to you what they say is God's word or God's message, and they'll package it in persuasive religious arguments. But they are of no value against fleshly indulgence, verse 23. You see, when we trust in anything other than Christ alone, believing his word, trusting in him personally, when we add to what Christ has done, when we use, or as we will see, human wisdom to follow Jesus, we become captives. We become enslaved. So God loves us. He's a good father. He says, see to it that you beware lest you be taken captive. There are what I would say spiritual kidnappers out there. They kidnap believers and make them ineffective in their walk with Christ. They end up trusting in the world's wisdom to follow Jesus, and that never works. You see, Christ is who we need, and it's always couched in religiousness. We see in verse 23 of chapter 2, it says, these are matters which, to be sure, have the appearance of wisdom. They appear wise, but actually, we're taken captive. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy. That's the love of wisdom. Now, it's obviously human wisdom they're speaking of here, because there's man's wisdom from below and God's wisdom from above. And empty deception. It's deception. It's hollow. It brings about nothing. And he also says this, that because in Christ we have everything we need in terms of wisdom. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So evil men and imposters will bring man's wisdom packaged in persuasive arguments, man's wisdom philosophically packaged religiously to deceive and lead believers astray, rather than faithfully proclaiming the word of God and Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And the means in which they do so, we see it is through philosophy and hollow or empty deception, verse 8. And then he says, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. That's the word stoichio, and it speaks of the ABCs, the way the world operates. It speaks of the tradition of men. Remember, we saw that the Pharisees, they took man's tradition and they taught it as if it was God's word. They took it and twisted it around. And so we have hollow, deceptive wisdom, human in origin, which encompasses a heart of pride and self-sufficiency and self-focus, rather than a dependence on Jesus Christ. If people can pull you away from totally relying on Christ, you'll get taken captive. If you have a system or a way to follow Jesus, then you're going to get taken captive. We need to rely on Jesus Christ alone. And so then, he says, see to it. Make sure you don't get taken captive. And then he says, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. We walk according to Christ, relying on him, but there are these threats. So with that in mind, we continue our walk by faith in Jesus Christ, and we walk that way. We started that way, and we walk that way. So then, Christ is all we need, and his word is all we need. We have everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Jesus, the true knowledge of him. We have his precious and magnificent promises. God has ordained that we are built up through the word. Remember, we were born again through the living and abiding word of God, and we also are grow in respect to salvation through God's word. And then we saw last time that we need to rest in the sufficiency of Christ. But sadly, there's nothing new under the sun. Things haven't changed in churches these days. Sunday after Sunday, false teachers or deceived brethren give their flocks spiritual pep talks, laced with video clips and clever and entertaining stories, illustrations with a few verses in or out of context sprinkled in. Usually they address, as I was taught in seminary, your felt needs, which is not what God does. God does not address our felt needs. He addresses what we truly need. And it points to us and our focus on our own selves and our problems rather than pointing us to Christ, admonishing every man and teaching everyone that we might be presented complete in Christ. So in contrast to the bad guys taking you captive, we are to focus on Christ. And notice he says, in the end of verse 8, rather than according to Christ. And then here, we begin some statements that go through the rest of this portion. For in him, or for in him, or in whom. We'll see those. So these statements, first of all, about the person of Jesus Christ, his nature, and then secondly, about our salvation in Christ. And so he says here, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. We saw this last time. And in him you have been made complete. You know, you have everything you need in Christ. And yet we don't think so. We get taken captive. and he is the head over all rule and authority. You might remember we saw in verse 9 this term for here is a different conjunction. There are different conjunctions in Greek. This one is the conjunction hadia. It means because. And you think about that. I can say take two aspirins for a headache. I'm not taking it to get a headache. I'm taking it because I have a headache. And so he's explaining here, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells. Christ is fully God in human flesh. You don't need those other things. You need Jesus. And he says here, in him you have been made complete. Remember, we saw this tremendous reality that God took on human flesh. That God the Son, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we have the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God the Son, eternally God, one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God the Son took on human flesh. And it says, in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Tremendous reality. We have a Savior who can sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who took on human flesh. We have a merciful high priest. We have, as we saw in Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 4, and our God will be forever, from the point of the incarnation on, the God-man, fully God and fully man. Tremendous, wonderful reality. Tremendous. So we need to go to Jesus. Remember we saw in Hebrews chapter 4 that we are to, with confidence, boldly come before the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace in time of need to help. We need Jesus. We need the Lord Jesus, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's fully God in human flesh. He understands. He empathizes. He sympathizes, yet without sin. Tempted in all things, yet without sin. So the false teachers want to pull us away from the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, but very subtly, with persuasive arguments. See to it you don't get taken captive. God's protection for us is Christ. He's God, and in human flesh. And then also we saw that in him, verse 10, in him you have been made complete. We go, I don't feel complete. I feel pretty run down. I feel like I'm getting old. I have troubles. I have issues. But we in Christ have been made complete. We have been saved. Our souls have been saved. We are new creations in Christ. And in Christ, although our body of flesh has not been redeemed yet, we're looking forward to being glorified, we are complete. In Christ, we're complete. That means when we abide in Jesus, we have everything we need. And his word abides in us. And see, that's where the false teachers get you. You got to do this, this, and this instead. I'll get some examples later. So here, you've been made complete. Tremendous statement. That puts a lot of spiritual stuff out of business. In Christ, you've been made complete. Remarkable statement concerning the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. The implications of this verse are massive, and we talked about it last time. Because we are in him, because of our relationship with him, we are filled to the brim. That's that verb. We have everything we need because of him. And I mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to read it for you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord. It's a relationship. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him, that's the Lord Jesus, who called us to his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises. We have his word. We have his word. We don't need Christ plus a list of do's and don'ts. Yes, we obey the Lord, but we do that as we abide in him. His commandments are not burdensome. We don't need Christ plus some special knowledge. We don't need Christ plus some religious ritual. We don't need Christ, as we'll see later on this chapter, and angels to help us out. We need Jesus Christ. We don't need to treat our bodies severely to be righteous. We need Jesus Christ. You'll see those examples later on. Do you believe that Christ is all you need? If you don't, you're going to get taken captive. You're going to get spiritually kidnapped. See to it that no one takes you captive. It means don't let it happen. And then lastly, we saw that he is head over all rule and authority. We saw that the rule and authority speaks of the angelic world, specifically the fallen angelic world. Those are those rulers and authorities under Satan, but Christ is head over them. He has complete victory over them. He is over them. Satan and his demons were defeated at the cross. Jesus publicly defeated Satan and his cohorts of death, their only weapon being sin and its result, death. They have been disarmed, rendered powerless, publicly defeated, triumphed over. Christ did that. So then how can we escape the snare or trap of false teaching when it's so subtle and it's so persuasive? How can we do so? Well, we're going to see as the rest of it goes from verses 11 to 15. We're only going to see 11 and 12 because in Christ we have complete salvation. Verse 11, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And then he goes on to talk about the forgiveness of sins, our sin debt, having been nailed to the cross, praise the Lord, and the defeat of Satan and his cohorts. So now as we begin our passage, long review, begin our passage here, we see the first portion here, it says, and in him you were also. Now, literally here, you could translate it this way, in whom also. So we are to not be taken captive by these things rather than according to Christ, in him. You see, he's continuing that because Jesus is God, because in him you have everything you need, because he's far above all the demons, and because in him you have a complete salvation. That's what he's going to share. He says here, in whom, and we're going to see, we were circumcised. We go, what? What's going on here? We'll talk about that in a minute. With the circumcision of Christ. Here's kind of the way the verbs work here. In whom also you were circumcised, circumcision of Christ, and buried and raised up with him in baptism. You were circumcised, that's the verb, and there's some participles, buried and then raised up with him. That's really how these portions fit together. So in him, we've been made complete. And so something happened when we were saved. When you believed, or if you believe today, something happened when we were saved. We were circumcised in Christ, he says here. He says, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You're going, what in the world is he talking about? Well, I think he's going to start nailing some of the false stuff. He's going to start hitting it head on with the truth, addressing really what circumcision is, the spiritual circumcision, and secondly, what baptism truly is. Because bad guys will come and say, hey, you got to follow these things. You got to do this stuff. Oh, you need to do this to be right with Jesus. And those are part of those things, I believe. We're going to see later on, he says, let no one act as your judge. And according to these Jewish things, he'll say, don't let them do that. Don't let them tell you you're spiritual by doing these things. Those things which are a shadow, but Christ is the fulfillment. See, the bad guys always focus on the shadows. That's how you can spot them.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today in our review, we saw we must first resist false teachers.
Indeed, Dave, we saw that we're commanded to not let them spiritually kidnap us with deceptive, worldly, man-centered wisdom that subtly pulls us away from totally trusting Christ and his word. Okay, with our review solidified in our minds, we encourage you to join us tomorrow as we get to the meat of this wonderful passage.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.